morning again. Let's, as usual, give them another round of applause. That was. I think I say this every year. You come to rehearsal, you come to practice, and you see all of these kids in the Sunday school, and they're trying to get everybody coordinated, and it's like, how are they going to pull this off? And yet, it's just a great presentation, a great show. So special thanks to Amy and all the rest of the Sunday school teachers for writing the script and putting that together. They do a great job. I'm going to bring a short meditation now. I didn't know how much time I was going to have. They told me between 30 and 10 minutes. So I'm kind of floating in the middle. So if we get done early, so be it. But I have a couple of thoughts about what we saw here this morning. As a teacher, one of the classes I teach is forensic science. And forensic science is an interesting class. You probably did not have this when you were in high school. But what we do is we look at evidence and we try to figure out how to process evidence and try to get a conviction from things left behind at crime scenes. And part of this class deals with hair analysis. And sometimes the people that commit these crimes, they leave pieces of hair behind. And if we find them, we try to match them up with the suspect. But in order for us to do this, we have to look very closely through a microscope at the hair. When we do this, we aren't making the hair bigger. The hair is the size it is. We're not making it any bigger. We're just looking at it closer so that we can see the details and we can start to match anything up if possible. It appears bigger the closer we look at it. And that reminds me of what we did here this morning and what we do with the Lord. Psalm 34:3 is a great verse. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Magnify the Lord. Kind of like what we do with the hair when we analyze it. Magnify the Lord. And let us exalt his name together. When we magnify the Lord, we can't make him any bigger. We just look at him closer. We look at him in greater detail. We look at different characteristics about him. And that's what we did here this morning as we considered all these different names of the Lord Jesus. We magnified him. We looked closer at him. And hopefully we grew in our appreciation of who he is. We grew in our understanding of who he is. And he became bigger to us and bigger to our lives. Well, let us exalt his name together. I had a couple of different names that I was going to look at, but I think we're only going to be able to get through one. And that was the first one in the presentation. That was the name Emmanuel. That was one of the names given to him, which means God with us. And we consider this as a great demonstration of God's love towards us, that he condescended to be with us and to walk with us. And is certainly why we celebrate the Christmas season here with the birth of the Lord Jesus. But the question is, how do we really respond to the fact that God is with us? Well, unfortunately, and I'm sure I'm guilty as well, we often look at this as an opportunity to have God as a resource and to grant us what we want. We by nature are motivated by what psychologists call our control points. The Bible refers to this as self. But our control points, and these things are the most important things to us. They could be different for different people. They could be family. They could be money. They could be career. They could be reputation. They could be security. They could be comfort. They could be anything. And we end up basing our relationship with God being motivated by these control points and asking and getting a little bit upset when things don't turn out the way that we should. We have an attitude of, if God is with us, what can he do for me? Well, we probably wouldn't be so bold as to say it just like that. But without realizing it, we can have a very self-centered faith. A self-centered faith that fluctuates, goes up and down, depending on how things are going. I told this story a little while ago about some coaches that I work with that went down to, I think it was South Carolina, and they were exposed to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes down there, the FCA group, and they were really impressed by what they heard. They were motivated, and they came back and they said, you know, the best athletic programs in the country are faith-based. And, you know, that's true when you look at it. They are faith-based. Everything from Clemson, the national championship football team, Clemson is a faith-based program. I read some of the testimonies of that coach in the FCA magazine. It's just spot on. All the way throughout the country. And as we got talking about that, I said that They need to be careful, and I'm sure that, most of them are, but they need to be careful that they are not using God to help their program, but that they're using their program to bring glory to God. Now, that may seem subtle, but that is a major shift in focus. That's a major shift in motivation. And when we consider Jesus and magnify who he is, he becomes our control point. He becomes the most important thing to us. And when Christ becomes our control point, we have a radically different outlook on life, a radically different outlook on the things that are going around. The Lord is not a means to an end. The Lord is the end himself. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to bring glory to God and to enjoy him forever. In a verse that talks about this idea of Emmanuel, a verse that talks about God being with us, is found in the first verse of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. God has used the prophets, God has used angels, God has used creation itself to communicate to us and to reveal who he is and reveal his attributes and reveal his characteristics. But the verse goes on to say, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Christmas is the final and complete revelation about who God is, the introduction of Emmanuel, God being with us. And it goes on to describe him as him who he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty. When we look at Jesus, we see the glory of God. God has entered time and space to reveal himself to us through his Son, which is, of course, the very heart of the Christmas message. And considering this amazing thought and really examining ourselves to see how we respond to it, we look to the Lord Jesus as our example, who did only those things that pleased the Father. The Lord Jesus did not seek glory for himself, but directed the glory to his Father. In that great chapter in John 17 where the Lord prays, some people would consider this to be the Lord's Prayer, John 17, he says, I have brought you glory on earth, speaking to his Father. How has he brought glory to his Father? What did he do? He said, by finishing the work you gave me to do. He brought glory to his Father by finishing the work. God brings glory to himself. You know that God brings glory to himself through our redemption. Our redemption, the fact that we're saved, brings glory to God and shouts out the wonders of his grace and the wonders of his love. Our redemption, we bring glory to God. And how do we bring glory to God with our life? By obeying him and doing the work that God has laid out for us to do. Now that's the question. What has God called you to do? What has God called you to do? I want to encourage us here this morning that we have individuals that love the Lord and are being obedient to the Lord and doing the work that God has called them to do. I'm sure there are so many of them. I just listed a couple. We have Mike Leshnack in the back who works at YMCA. And yet he goes out of his way to invite some of these men to go on fishing trips and different things. And while he's there, he's preaching the gospel. He is demonstrating God's love to them, doing what God has called him to do. Pat Humminger, who is not with us this morning, you know, she was in the Kenilworth newspaper again. Pat Humminger, for decades, has worked in Kenilworth school systems, working with the drama department, working with the art department, working with the historical society here in town, doing the work, being a testimony, being a witness in our community here. We have people like my sister Lisa, who is a substance abuse counselor, who advises teenage kids from a Christian perspective, going out and representing the Lord in some very difficult situations. We have the prison work that's going on here. We have AA that uses our building. We have the preschool ministry that are reaching unsaved people that come in here and hear the gospel. We have those that faithfully prepare and serve the missionary supper every month. We have those that are doing what God has called them to do. The question is, what has God called you to do? What has God called you to do? You know, we don't broadcast these things. We don't brag about these things. But I think it's good for you to know that that we have people that are doing these things. And we as elders, we want to encourage you to think outside the box. We want to encourage you to consider this question. And we want you to know that we're going to support you. We will support you if possible. If possible. Would it be possible for us to establish a food pantry here? Maybe open it up two days a week. Maybe be able to gather that and have somebody coordinate that. Would it be possible for someone to offer free financial planning from a Christian perspective? Do we know anybody that has that expertise and we can let the community know and bring them in and say, from a Christian perspective, this is how you can look at your finances? Or would it be possible for someone to set up a network for those that are suffering with loved ones that have addictions? We know that in New Jersey, the opioid, and not even New Jersey, the whole country, people are losing loved ones due to addiction. What are we doing as a chapel? We may not have the expertise, we may not have the resources to help those that are struggling with addiction, but what about the family members that are watching the ones that they love go through this terrible experience? Maybe there's someone that has, that the Lord might put that burden on your heart. Maybe that's something else that you can do. What has the Lord called you to do? What skills and talents has the Lord given to you that you may bring glory to Him? And so we want to be sure that we are loving God for who He is, not for what He can do for us. But you know, the good news is that there's a practical side to this. There's a practical side. He does care about the details of your life. He is Emmanuel. He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And while we shouldn't be motivated by what Jesus can do for us, it is an encouragement for us to know that Jesus will provide for us. Some of the most beautiful words that Jesus said was when he told the leper in Matthew, "I desire to heal you with all of my heart." I desire to heal you with all of my heart. Not, I guess I'll take care of that now. Not, okay, I'll fix your problem, but I'm moving on. But in the expanded Greek, it says, "I desire to heal you with all of my heart." You see the compassion of Jesus, that he wanted to help someone with the physical difficulty that they were having in life right now. And so no matter what you're going through, the Lord is with you. We have people in this church that are going through difficult times. We mentioned some of them in prayers. Other times we don't mention them, but we know that we have people that are going through difficult times. I myself, in the last 2.5 years, have gone through some significant challenges, some difficult times. Maybe you're visiting here this morning and you're saying, you have no idea. Or maybe you come here, but you just haven't shared it, and you say, you have no idea what I'm going through. Well, you're right. I don't know, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows, and He cares. The Lord is not distant. He is with us, and He wants to show His greatness in your life. Remember in the book of James, we were encouraged as Christians to not be double-minded, not live in both worlds, but if you believe God, live a life that reflects that you truly trust Him. Live a life through the lens of Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with me. And that will radically change the way that we look at things that we are going through. You know, Jesus, as we close, He came as a child, but He didn't remain in that manger. You know, the Lord Jesus went to the cross, but He didn't remain in that grave. And He ascended to heaven, but He has not left us alone. He came and He walked among us in a very special time in history, and He continues to walk with us today. He continues to have a desire to heal you with all of His heart. And so as we had this great presentation by our Sunday school, we were invited to magnify the name of the Lord. Magnify His name. Look closer at Him. This Christmas season, take a closer look at the Lord Jesus and see things that you haven't seen before. And I hope you don't look at the Lord from a distance, but remember Him as Emmanuel. God is with us. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord Jesus as more than just the baby in the manger? Do you know Him as your Savior, your Lord, and your King? Magnify the name of the Lord, and you will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Let's close in a word of prayer. And if you have anything that you would like to talk about, please stay after. You can talk to me or someone else. If you have ideas or If you're not sure what it means to be saved, don't run out. The football games don't start till 1 anyway. Don't run out. If you have anything that you'd like to talk about, anything that's on your heart, please hang out and talk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for the Sunday school program, Lord. We thank you that we had the opportunity this morning to magnify your name and to consider how great our Savior is. Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might be moving over their heart right now. Lord, that you might be speaking to their heart, and that they might recognize their situation, they might recognize where they are in light of eternity, and that they might turn to you for salvation. And Lord, I pray for those that are saved. I pray that you would encourage us to examine our life, to examine our relationship with you, and see if we have a self-centered relationship, Lord. It's so easy to do. It just happens so naturally, Lord. Help us to examine our life this Christmas season and to put you first and to do things for your glory, not for necessarily for our comfort, or for our glory or anything like that, Lord, but to look to you. And Lord, we commit the activities of this chapel to you too. We pray that everything that's done here would really reflect your love and bring you glory. We pray this in your name. Amen.